It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, good morning, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton. Thanks a lot for joining me for our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. We've got a lot coming up on today's show, but first, guess what? Bill Dance is with us. Good morning, Bill.
Morning to you, Luke. How you been, buddy?
We're fine, and I tell you what, folks are listening to you now up in Northeast Texas, and you know, Bill, what's up in Northeast Texas. Lake Fork, Lake Bob Sandlin, Lake Tuocini, Lake Cypress Springs, on and on and on. It's some pretty dang good fishing up in this neck of the woods, isn't
it? Absolutely. A lot of good fishing water up in that area.
And I know that through the years, you've fished a lot up in this area.
Yeah, a long time ago, you spent a lot of time in that area. And coming down through that area, going down toward Toledo Bend and Rayburn, all down through there.
Yep. Well, you know, Lake Fork, Bill, is still cranking.
Absolutely.
It's the heyday, what the local guides like to call the glory years, or might be past, but it still cranks out some real nice bass fishing.
I hear a lot of good things about it. I understand it's a little low right now.
Yeah, it is. I've got a buddy, Larry Large, that's a regular guest on our show here, Bill, and Larry has guided there since it opened, and he was telling me that he had his last boa trip just before I talked to him. He had some clients, and he is used to running some boat lanes that he was very accustomed to. He said it scared him to death. He got out there and saw some things, some timber that he'd never seen. So I know a lot of our listeners that are listening know to slow down on Lake Fork. The fishing's been real good.
It'd be a good time right now to take some pictures, wouldn't it?
He's doing that, and he's videoing some stuff, some creek channels, you know.
It'd be a good time to do it.
And keep that on your archive for later, and plugging it in on the GPS, too. That's amazing, Bill, with the GPS and the way of coming back to spots now that, you know, not too many years ago, it wasn't happening, was it?
I know. It's amazing how our electronic age, how modern technology, it's unbelievable. If we looked back when you and I started out, it's amazing how far we've come with the equipment that we've got today compared to what we had, say, 10 years ago, 15, 20 years ago. It's just unbelievable.
And you know, I was talking to you the last time you were on the show with me about this, basically the same topic, and you were telling me that on the internet, the things that are being done to help sportsmen right now is phenomenal. I think you had a new app for the internet back then we were talking about.
Right, yeah, we came out with our own app on the iPad and iPhone. Right now you can get it, Bill Dance app we just came out with about 6 months ago, and we're updating it almost every day, you know, adding to it.
That's awesome. And folks, our guest, if you just tuned in, is Bill Dance, and Bill gets with me quite frequently. And you know, Bill, the very interesting thing I always think about is I had an uncle, his name was also Luke, and back in the 60s, and then I'm sure up on later years too, You used to headquarter out of his Camp Carefree up on Horseshoe Lake, right?
I remember when I was a little bitty boy, my grandmother would take me there, and she'd drop me off, and this is back before I even had I could drive a car, and she'd take me there to Camp Carefree. That was your uncle's marina or boat dock.
Yeah.
They called them boat docks back then.
Right.
If you remember marina. I don't even know that.
Yeah.
Didn't even knew what a marina was back in those days on those old Oxbow lakes. But he eventually, I'd hang out over there so much. Old Luke Clayton would, he'd give me a boat, and he'd give me a sculling paddle. And, he felt sorry for me because I didn't have any money back in those days. And I'd take my casting rod and my little few topwater baits that I had, and he'd give me a boat and wouldn't charge me for it, and a boat cushion and a sculling paddle, and I'd take off and I'd scull around, fish those piers all around. I had a few old bomber lures and a few topwater baits and a few spinner baits, and I'd fish all up and down around Camp Carefree, and I'd never forget that. He was such a kind person.
You know,
I learned a whole lot about bass fishing You know,
That's how you learned it. Well, you didn't.
On Horseshoe Lake right there, absolutely, I did.
Got you started. You didn't have the option of thinking about what might be happening in that cove 4 miles away. You had to fish there, didn't you?
No, if I got 150 yards, 200 yards away from Camp Carefree, I was a long way from that boat.
Well, my uncle, he left a lasting impression on me, Bill. He was a kind gentleman, and I would come up in the summers when I got in high school a couple of years, and talking about no money, we thought Uncle Luke was rich back in those days, but I would go up and work for him. And later he started renting those boats there on that canal back behind his house there, you know. And my job was to make sure they were clean and put gasoline in the motors, and you know, but there's some fond years back there, you know.
Oh, absolutely. He was rich. He was rich with kindness. And
that's it.
A good heart.
As I became an older man myself, I look back and I could see that. You know, he had lots and lots of friends. And you do too, Bill. Your TV shows, starting, I think, maybe the end of December, you're going to have back-to-back, one saltwater and then one freshwater show, right?
Yeah, we'll air our first back-to-back. Airings will be on NBC Sports. It'll be Saturday, December the 31st. So if you're around the TV, flip it on Saturday morning. They gave us some tremendous times. We moved our saltwater show. Of course, our freshwater show has aired on Versus. Well, NBC Sports bought out Versus, and so it'll be both freshwater and saltwater, Bill Dance Outdoors and Bill Dance Saltwater, will be airing year round on the new NBC Sports, starting late December and on into 2012. So we're real pleased with that.
Well, I know a lot of the folks listening here will be tuned in. Bill, I know you have a busy day today, and I really do appreciate you being with us here on Public Radio, and hopefully, you know, in a few weeks we can give you a call and let you give us some winter fishing tips. How about
it? Well, it's always a pleasure to be with you, Luke, and enjoy talking to you and talking to your listeners. And anytime, buddy.
Thanks.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Bill. Folks, that was Bill Dance, America's favorite fisherman, and I'll tell you, one of my favorite fishermen, too. It's ironic, back when I was a youngster, Bill's a few years older than me, I believe, but back in the 60s, I used to go up to my uncle's fishing camp, Camp Carefree, up there on an oxbow lake on the Mississippi River, and I would work with my uncle, or for my uncle, during the summer months, and gas boats and whatnot. And I've kidded Bill a lot, Bill Dance, in the past years, and that I probably had the privilege of breaking out the boat and getting it ready for a budding bass superstar. But Bill is really just as nice a guy as you think he is. He's just super, super nice fella, and I really do appreciate it when he can get with us and visit with us on the radio here. You know, duck season is going strong. The feds predicted that there would be more ducks this year coming down the Central Flyway than in any time in recent history, and by golly, they were right. I live 1 mile from a lot of kind of backwater gravel and sand pits that always provide good shooting. Not far from me is about a 2,000-acre wetland, and the shooting was good on these sand pits before the wetland went in, but now it's even better. So I get have the opportunity of being, from my house, I can be in a duck blind in about 20 minutes from my door here. So I've got some good blinds built, back in the right places. And where there's water and where there's food right now, there's ducks. And I've got that report from a lot of different people in North and Northeast Texas. If you can, you know, if there's duck food, vegetation in the water that ducks eat, and for puddle ducks we're talking, you know, water a foot to 18 inches deep, something like that, you're going to have ducks. But I'll tell you something that I've learned from hunting ducks so much, and it's when to get ready to shoot. And you know, I take a lot of people with me that are novice duck hunters, and a buddy and I actually do some guided hunts around Seven Points, Texas, near Cedar Creek Lake. But I get to hunt ducks a lot, and the single most thing that I see people doing that's wrong is shooting too quick. Now, by nature, if ducks are going to pass a decoy spread, they're going to, you may think when they make that first pass, they're not coming back. But most of the time, ducks will make a bit, they may fly 500 yards, make a big circle, you know, and what you don't want to do is put a bare face up in the sky and start looking and watching for them. You want to wear a face mask or use face paint. A bright, shiny face spooks more ducks than anything, I believe. But when those ducks come by the spread the first time, you know, it's not over. So don't jump up and shoot one out there 40 yards or try to shoot one that's going 40 miles an hour. Just be real patient and be real calm. Do a little calling. If they're leaving, give a few quacks or, you know, I'll tell you, an awesome call is a gadwall call. Haydale Game Calls makes a gadwall call. I've called more ducks than that with that in than using a mallard hen quack, you know. But let those ducks pass, and chances are the next time they'll be a little slower and a little lower. But that might not be, if they're still looking hard, they'll probably come back. Wait until you see them come in. They'll come into the wind when they finally commit, and they'll lock their wings. When those wings are locked, and you see them gliding in to your decoys, wait till they get just about ready to plop down, and that's when you need to start shooting. What I like to do is when they come down, you know, they'll usually just kind of start dropping. I like to shoot the top bird, the highest bird that's within reasonable shotgun range, you know, that's within, say, 35 yards. Shoot the top bird, and that'll give you time, those lower birds, to start coming up. And a lot of times, if you take your time, you can kill, knock a couple or maybe three down on one decoying action when they come in. So that's just some things that I've picked up by hunting them a lot and hunting with people that, you know, you're so anxious when ducks start coming in. It's very exciting when you hear those whistling wings overhead. It's human nature to want to throw that shotgun up and shoot. But if you can just restrain yourself a little bit and wait until those ducks are really committed, you'll kill a lot more. Now, a lot of old-time duck hunters will tell you, wait till you can see the color of their feet. Well, that might be hard on a gadwall or a widgeon. Mallards, it's easy to do. But what I try to do is pick, say, something 35 yards. That's far enough to be shooting ducks. Now, granted, some of the 3.5-inch loads that we have, you can kill ducks at 50 yards and beyond, but it takes somebody that's a far better shot than me or most people I've seen shoot to do that. Pick out a spot that's about no more than 35 yards. And the whole deal on duck hunting is to shoot decoying ducks, ducks that are coming into decoys, not past shooting them. But you want to trick those ducks and get them in close. So pick out a bush or the other side of the pond or something that's 35 yards. Know your limit. And then wait until the ducks get within your self-imposed limit there before you start shooting. And on the light side, if you've hunted ducks very much, you know this. There's usually a good flight for the first, 45 minutes to an hour of daylight. And then things slow down, usually to a crawl duck hunting. Then, sometime around right now, probably about 8:15, 8:30, they start coming back. And if I've done it once, I've done it a million times. Say, okay, boys, let's head in. You're standing out there with unloaded shotguns, and I've had ducks almost land in this decoy spread when I'm getting ready to go. So it's a pretty good idea. If you haven't limited out early, go ahead and make a commitment to stay put until, say, 8:45. You know, it's pleasant out there. The duck shooting usually won't be that red hot later in the morning, But if you stay put, especially wood ducks, you know, they'll usually come on in a little bit later than, so it's not all necessarily done, you know, after that first morning shoot there. That's, they usually last about 30, 45 minutes. Folks, we are out of time. I've enjoyed the time we spent with you today. Remember, catfishradio.com, and this week I want you to be safe in the outdoors and have a lot of fun.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.